What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I have a very exciting guest with me today. Our very first podcast guest is returning. You know her, you love her, and she can't go an hour without talking about BL and her virtual boyfriend, Stella Chu.
What's up, guys? You better love me.
Or else.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Stella.
What's up?
Welcome back to the United States and the podcast.
Yeah, same to you, because you were in the same place I was.
Yes. Yeah. You stayed a little longer than me, though. I think I got my jet lag out, and I think you are at peak jet lag hours right now.
I am so tired.
Yeah.
I am so very tired.
I was wondering when you said 10 p.m. for the podcast, I was like, that is going to either be a mistake or you're still on opposite time.
It's definitely a mistake, but I'm here.
We're doing it. You can't waste a good makeup day.
No, actually, that is exactly the reason, was that I did my makeup today and I was like, let's do the podcast today, because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you sent me a photo and I saw you did freckles, so I also did freckles to match you. So we're freckly girlies today. How was your trip, I ask, having been on it with you?
You literally shared the trip. You were there. Dude, it was great. Europe is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, really amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm a China traveler and, like, a Japan traveler and a Taiwan traveler and a Vietnam traveler. Like, I've gone to every... Korea, Thailand. Like, you were with me in Thailand. So, now I think I'm going to have to add Europe to my list of places, and just especially, dude, Spain was great.
Yeah. Spain, I didn't go with you to Spain, and I'm very jealous.
Yeah.
I thought about it. I looked at flights while we were out there, but we hit Germany and Paris together, mm-hmm. and then you did Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite place of those three?
So we did Dusseldorf, Paris, Barcelona, and Barcelona was definitely my favorite because I liked the energy more. Even though, like, Dusseldorf was absolutely gorgeous, like, adorable, and I really enjoy German culture. Mm-hmm. I like how blunt everyone is.
Me too. I also loved that.
Yeah, yeah. I really, like, it was just like, it really scratched my, like, neurodivergent brain really nicely.
Yeah.
But something about Spain and just how everyone really loved, like, excessiveness. Like they liked anyone who was, like, really gaudy, you know? Which literally one of their favorite artists' names is Gaudy. Yeah, he's, like, an architect. So, you know, Kate Sarkeesian.
Yes.
She has her big nails. Literally, she would get complimented every 5 minutes in Spain.
Really?
About her nails. And nobody in Paris said anything. Nobody in Germany said anything, right?
Okay.
Dude, people in Spain loved her nails. And they loved her fit. Like, she was wearing these gorgeous dresses that mm-hmm. was accentuating her body. And, like, they would always compliment her and everything. Like, like...
Her nails are long. They're long.
Like,
longer than anyone I know.
Yeah. They're probably a good 2.5 inches long.
Yeah.
At this point. And
they curl around like black cats.
Oh, they're so great.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing how wonderfully she was being treated. And, like, even me, I got, like, compliments and all that stuff. But, like it was just such a nice experience to have, like, people openly show appreciation. They weren't shy. So I'd say, like, as an American, Spain was the most, like, comfortable for me. Because, you know, mm-hmm. America, we're always, like, pointing things out. Like, being like, oh my God, like, love your fit. Like, where'd you get that purse? Nice shoes. Like, I love your nails. And Spain kind of felt like that. So it was, like, it felt a lot more, like home in a way. In a weird way.
Comfy,
like,
familiar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I also love the food in Spain a lot more than in Germany. I'm sorry, German food sucks. Dude, schnitzels fucking suck. German people, like,
I don't even, I'm trying to remember the food in Germany. All I remember is getting terrible pasta, like, 3 times in a row.
No way.
So bad. No offense to Germany, but as a
Italian.
Partial Italian. I hate when pasta is like so. There's a case to be made for al dente, but when it becomes so hard that it is almost crunchy, it's like too al dente for me. Christ. And that's how they do pasta in Germany, I think. Because I got 3 different pasta dishes and I didn't learn my lesson until the third one.
Dude, no.
I think they just cook it like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I've had schnitzel before and yeah, it kind of is just deep fried. Breaded meat, pork, chicken, whatever, and like mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like deep fried breaded food just like deletes all flavor.
Yeah.
I just like I can't pinpoint any meal that I particularly really enjoyed. And then fucking same. Barcelona every day, 5 times a day. Like we would literally eat 5 times a day because it was the
sounds
incredible. Culture. It was oh god, it was amazing.
Did you do any shoots while you were in Barcelona or anything, or was it just for pleasure?
Just for pleasure. In fact, it was a vacation from our vacation because Germany was all about my experience in Germany. Because I keep saying Germany because I was in Berlin and I was in Dusseldorf.
Mm-hmm.
So both cities, I was working the whole time and I didn't have any like leisure. And then in Paris, I spent an entire day just shooting. So that was also work. So, yeah, I needed a vacation for my vacation.
Honestly, smart. I was exhausted in Paris. And I feel like in the cosplay community, there's 2 genders. There's the people who wake up at 7 a.m.
yeah.
with the sun and are ready to do a million things and don't need a ton of time to get ready. And they're just going and moving. And then there's people like me who want to wake up at 11 or 12 and leisurely get ready, and then I'm good for the rest of the day. And by like the third day in Paris after doing the convention, I was like, guys, I'm dying out here.
Yeah.
I need to sleep for more than 6 hours.
Yeah, it was rough. Yeah, it was really rough. Some nights I slept 5. Because, like, you know, you're, like, you wind down from the day and you're staying in Airbnb with your friends.
Yeah.
So you just want to, yeah. You just want to, like,
decompress.
Decompress after a long day and, like, do a little debrief with your friends. And then, so, like, before you know it, you don't start getting ready for bed until, like, 3. And it takes you an hour to get ready for bed because you're, you know.
So, yeah, you're wired.
Dude, I can't just lay down. There's so much that needs to – I have to take off my makeup. Mm-hmm. Then I have to do my skincare. Then I brush my teeth. And then I have to – oh, I have to shower, right? Because it's like after a convention, fuck, I'm not showering the next day.
Yeah.
I'm going to shower that night.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's certain days where I will shower in the morning because, you know, I didn't do anything the day before. So there was no requirement to shower. But after a fucking convention, you are disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's liquids in places. There's
germs.
Yeah.
Sweat.
It's gross.
Yeah.
So I have to shower there's a lot that happens before bed and it takes like me a whole fucking hour no matter how fast I move. And also you don't want to move fast because if you get your adrenaline going, you can't fall asleep fast.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to move at like a pace that is balanced. It's very it's very stressful.
Yeah. And all your friends are around and you want to leave to take your makeup off and do all that because mm-hmm. you're talking mm-hmm. and yeah.
And then like someone else is in the bathroom or you're worried you're taking too long in the bathroom yourself. Like
yeah.
It's very stressful.
Yeah, the Airbnb I stayed at for Dokimi I was with Holly Wolf, I was with Clarice Polaris and Nerdy Knightley and Animation Kelly, and we had 1 bathroom, so we were like cycling in and out as fast as we could in the morning and at night.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, I was just sharing with 4 people because there's 2 bathrooms and the one that was upstairs for Miko and Martin, that was theirs. And then the one downstairs was for like, I was the only cosplayer and then there's 3 boys. So I never felt like I was in the way.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I had like a whole makeup vanity set up in the bedroom where we were sleeping that was facing the window light for the morning because I knew I wasn't going to get bathroom time.
Yeah.
But it worked out pretty well. It was pretty seamless, I think. But at one point, Holly was showering and Kelly was doing her makeup, and they just had to be in there together. Holly was like, "I'm coming in," and Kelly was like, "Sure, whatever."
Yeah, that
got to do what you got to do.
This is why I like staying at hotels and not at Airbnbs anymore.
Because, I agree.
Yeah, dude.
Honestly,
also there's a lot of reward just staying in a hotel. I know a lot of people won't think that because they just think, "Oh, the prices." But like, I've learned that if you start doing your like hotel points, it's going to work out for you way better in the long run. Mm-hmm. And you're going to save a lot more money and you're going to get nicer hotel rooms. And mm-hmm. you might even get a hotel room when there isn't a hotel room.
Right.
This is something
free
they
upgrades,
don't. Yeah. This is something breakfast. They don't teach people, right? Mm-hmm. This is like this is not poverty core, which is really unfortunate. I really, really wish that more people would learn about stuff like this and be able to teach each other stuff like this, because it would benefit each individual person, like in the long run. Like, don't gatekeep this information about like how to, because we like everyone who goes to conventions are like, "All right, we're gonna shove everyone into a hotel room, and it's all gonna be under this guy's name, and that guy's gonna benefit from all the fucking points, and he's gonna get all the nice upgrades." Yeah, and it could have been you this whole time.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I didn't start putting my Hilton Honors number and my Marriott number on hotel rooms until last year. And I could have been living at large this whole time.
Right?
With all of the conventions that fly us out, I haven't been utilizing that
at
all.
Yeah, you're right. And you attend more conventions than I do. You could have had
so
many
nights. The past few years, can you imagine?
Oh my God, you would have been like platinum ambassador or whatever,
yeah.
You know?
I know. It's one of my biggest regrets.
No one teaches this stuff.
I know.
It shouldn't be gatekept. It should be like taught at a, instead of being like this, like, I don't know. There's like this, the way of teaching things where people like teach it and make you feel like you're overwhelmed and stupid. But there should be a way for people to teach it where they're like, "No, do it with me. It'll be mm-hmm. fun." And then your brain is like, "Oh, I will do it with
I
you."
I think we should learn about this in high school. I think it should be like a class, like a life skills class.
Yes.
You know, all of that stuff.
Yes. Or everyone should just have an aunt in their life who's just like, "I'll teach you, honey, everything you need to know." Mm-hmm. Your parents won't teach you about the birds
credit
and the bees,
cards.
But I will.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Credit cards, loyalty programs, yeah. Credit scores, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Call it life skills.
Yeah, the ones that make your life easier. Mm-hmm. Not just the ones that will help you survive, but the ones that will, like, if everyone
help
else
win.
Is getting it, why not you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I agree. So you've been traveling a ton lately. More so than normal, and I feel like you already traveled so much. Do you have a top three favorite places that you've been in the past few years?
Barcelona, uh-huh. because it's fresh in my memory, and I really just had the most amazing time. And also being able to hang out with Kate Sarkisian was so nice.
Yeah.
Like, that was like we've hung out before, but that was like, that was like our time. Like that was that was like some girl time. That was nice. Let's see. I really enjoy China a lot. That's also because I've only scratched the surface of it. And it's such a different culture. Like, yeah, I'm Chinese, but that's by blood. That doesn't mean I know anything about the country. In mm-hmm. fact, all everything I know about the country is from social media, not from my fucking parents. They don't know shit. They're in their 70s. How are they going to know that there's a hot guy restaurant where they rip their aprons off and show off their pecs?
Yeah.
So.
And you, especially like traveling so much, you have a special power that you were utilizing when we were in France, where you can find a cool place to go on your phone.
Well,
sniff it out like a
yeah.
drug dog.
Dude, it's I'm literally just going on Google Maps and I'm just looking at restaurants, but there somehow I can find that golden little halo that like ding 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 ding, ding like I hone
yeah.
in on it, and I've managed to find restaurants or places, like things, activities to do, and they always end up being like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I'm I'm glad I have this buff.
It's like vibes.
Yeah.
It's just good vibes. So you like can sniff out the vibes.
I would say like 9 times out of 10, I don't disappoint.
Yeah.
And then the 1 out of 10 times I'm like, oh, never mind, let's go. And we waste all of 20 minutes.
Right.
Know?
Right. But your track record is great. So when it comes to traveling, especially for conventions or cosplay, do you have like a checklist that you go through when you start packing? Or do you have any tips that could help other people, as if we were in a life skills class, when it comes to like weight limits and stressful stuff like that?
Yeah.
Flying overseas.
Okay. Let's, I mean, if you want me to like info dump, there's so much stuff. So, always have like one of those mini scales that you can, it's like a little thing that goes on your luggage and it tells you, like, you pull it up and it tells you how much your luggage weighs. So mm-hmm. that's really important. Figure out what airlines give you the best allowances for your luggages, because going for a cheap airline for when you have a lot of luggage is actually a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Because you're not saving any money when the two is $150 and the back is also $150, right? That's $300 when you, like, yeah. So, make sure your luggage, like the actual like luggage empty, is actually like not that heavy. Mm-hmm. I made that mistake with a Samsonite, and that thing is like 20 pounds right off the bat. And mm-hmm. that means I only have 30 pounds to play with. Mm-hmm. You want something less than 20 pounds. Okay, so I don't want to go too deep into that. I want to like try and give you overall. I actually started, because I travel so much, I started keeping doubles of everything.
Yeah, Jenny said that when she was on the podcast, and I did what she said, and I keep like a go bag now, and it rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause what if you forget your toner, your mm-hmm. Contact solution, mm-hmm. my mouth guard that I need to sleep with, which, by the way, I'm trying to go to a dentist to get a second mouth guard, but they're really expensive. They're like $800.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm still rocking this like 5-6 year old mouth guard that's like kind of not doing too hot, but if I don't wear it at night, I literally wake up with lockjaw and a headache.
Yeah.
So that's like the one thing in my entire kit that is like not doing too good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I have like so many hair dryers now, because I'll bring a travel hair dryer with me depending on like where I'm going. If it's international, I won't bring a hair dryer because they will blow out. Like they will explode. Like the interior, not, hold on, let me rephrase. They're not a bomb. The mechanism inside will fry, and you're gonna lose your hair dryer. Your nice expensive hair dryer.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of flat irons and curling irons that have the thing in it that converts the energy really well and doesn't like blow up. Mm-hmm. So what else? I'm trying to think of some other, bring like the smallest umbrella you can find, like literally this, like something this big. Mm-hmm. It's better to have an umbrella than no umbrella. But then also a lot of hotels will lend you an umbrella, or you can rent an umbrella from them. Mm-hmm. Especially non-American hotels. American hotels, I don't know why the fuck they don't give us umbrellas, but like Asian hotels, all of them have umbrellas. And in Europe, we can rent the umbrellas. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, there's so many hacks that I do that I don't even think about anymore.
Yeah, I don't think about them either.
Packing cubes, they're essentially just these fabric bags, and you just put your clothes in them, and you separate them by pants, tops, underwear, socks, bras. And then if you want to bring another one, that's for dirty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty laundry. If you really want to go crazy, you're staying long, and then bring like one of those dry packets of laundry detergent, and then wash your clothes inside of the shower, like in the bathtub. I've only done this a couple of times, but that's because all Asian countries, their hotels have laundry in the hotel, and it's actually usually free. You don't have to pay for it. Whereas American hotels, they all require you to do dry cleaning, which is like $2 for a pair of socks or something, like mm-hmm. like $10 for a t-shirt. Like, that's ridiculous. So if I'm doing like a long stay in America, then yeah, I'll bring that dry packet of laundry detergent. Trying to think of what else. Always bring a tote bag. You know, you never know when you're going to need a tote bag.
That's true.
Especially as cosplayers, if you're like going on a photo shoot, you're like, oh shit, I should have brought a tote bag to bring my cosplay to the location.
Those wildlife video game tote bags that we all got really came in handy.
Oh, that was my carry-on at the end of the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
There was a after party one of the nights of Dokimi, sponsored by a video game called Wildlife. And they gave out goodie bags consisting of a fleshlight keychain, an actual fleshlight modeled after one of their characters.
Which is really funny because all of the people there were women. Right. So what are we going to do with these fleshlights?
Whatever we please. And I believe it syncs to the game, right?
You can buy the attachment for, for this.
Okay. Yeah. there was a vibrator in mine. Not all of them had vibrators.
Yeah, there's like the – it's like a C shape and then other people got a vibrator, I guess. Yeah, so you either got one or the other. And they also came with a raincoat. Oh, no. Not every goodie bag had a raincoat. If you went to the booth at the end of the convention, he was giving out raincoats. And the raincoat fucks.
That raincoat was really good. I got one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic raincoat. And it was really good. It saved my life in Paris.
Did it? Oh, yeah. Because it was so rainy.
It was raining. It was cold. I was like, fuck, this is so... Yeah. So thank God for that.
Yeah. Speaking on your mouth guard, had to break into your house to go get it.
Yeah.
When you were on your first leg of Germany because you forgot it. and I luckily had an idea of a possibility of what your door code could be. And I guessed it.
Oh my God.
Because I don't have a code that
I
know of.
I thought you did.
If I do, I don't know it.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, that's a Jeff problem. That's not me.
It's okay. I got in.
Sick.
I messaged both of you and I was like, I'm just going to try a couple things. And the first thing I tried was right.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I was like, nice. I think I just passed my friendship test.
Yay.
But I was able to retrieve it, luckily. And then I didn't even get to give it to you for like 3 or 4 days.
Totally fine. Yeah.
We kept missing each other.
I bought one from the grocery store and it was bad. It was, yeah, that grocery store one was bad. I will never do that again. But it is now my travel one because just in case I forget my regular one.
Right.
God, why do I have mouth problems?
I also have a retainer that I don't ever wear, but I should because it also helps my TMJ. Last travel question. How is Dokimi, is it your first European convention, and how is it different compared to all of the conventions in the US?
So I've been to a few conventions in Europe, but Dokimi is, in my opinion, the biggest convention I've ever been to in my life.
Same, actually.
Yeah. So there's 9 halls, and each one of those halls is the size of a regular vendor hall at any convention in America. So there's 9 of those. That's insane.
It was crazy. It was like a city. Vendors.
Yeah. It didn't feel like you were in a city. You felt like you walked into a facility that was mostly outdoors, and you would then find your way to the different buildings that had big numbers on them. And so in your brain, you didn't think you were in like a giant space. You just thought, hey, these are the different buildings I have to go into. So by the end of it, you realize there's 9 of these ginormous warehouse level buildings. And that means you only saw 2 of those. What is in the other 7? That's crazy. I saw videos of other ones that had like, what are those, like bouncy castles, but they're obstacle courses. Like that was crazy. I wish I got to go do that.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. I know we talked about this already off camera, but I think I would love to go back and just experience the convention because I'm very grateful that I got to booth, but being at the booth from open to close all 3 days in a row was fun, but I feel like I didn't get to go around and experience the actual convention, especially with how beautiful the park was outside of it.
Yeah, that park was massive. I looked at it on a map, and then the park is like 4 times the size of the convention center. And the convention center is already fucking massive, right? So Dude, okay, so let me paint a picture for the people in the audience. So I want you to think of like 9 buildings like in a circle, but then in the middle of that circle is completely outdoor area. And that outdoor area was massive. It was a courtyard and it was filled with food trucks, and seating and like places to kind of like spread out and hang. Like literally somebody could just sit in the middle of that with a picnic and it wouldn't be in the way because of how wide the space was. And a lot of people did, not like on the ground, but there was like plenty of places just to sit so that if you were overwhelmed indoors, you could just go outdoors and hang out. And this was also the same in the garden, which was right across the street. It took you didn't even need to worry about red lights because that's how close it was. Like it was such like the it was like a two lane street. So it wasn't even like you were crossing a highway or like a major intersection. Nothing like that. It was like right across the street. It took absolutely no effort. A stone's fucking throw to get this to this gorgeous, massive botanical garden that was also very vast. And they had so many different themes. And the main theme that everyone liked was the Japanese garden because it was like vaguely Japanese themed. They had like topiaries that were vaguely Japanese. They didn't have any structures. It would be nice if they put in structures next in like the future. But like, yeah, the rest of the place had like water features everywhere and stone features everywhere. There's sculptures. There was like circular flower setups and stuff. It was crazy. The whole place was crazy. There was like a giant building that looked like a greenhouse, I think, but it was at the bottom of like the end of a field. So you can stand at the front of the field and take pictures and have like this gorgeous greenhouse behind you. It was insane. Yeah. And people were like having picnics out there. And I have a video of these guys just like climbing trees and getting to the top of like a willow tree. And he was like straight up like R farming at the top of this willow tree. And I'm like, I didn't realize one that you could climb willow trees. And also like nobody cared. No one was like, oh my God, he's destroying nature. Like nobody fucking cared. They're like, okay, beat freedom. You can do whatever you want.
Climb a tree. Have fun.
This should be normal. Like, you know what? This is a public space. And yeah, you might damage it. But what's the point of like, it was such a, everyone was treated like adults. Kind of environment. And I loved that. Like anytime somebody would do something that was like against the rules, like security would, you know, be called or something, the security would be like, yeah, don't do that. Like they weren't trying to power trip and yell at us. It was always like,
it's very nonchalant.
It was nonchalant because they were like, you're an adult and you know that what you're doing is wrong, but you're not like hurting anyone. Like it just felt better. Yeah. In that sense. And I felt respected, and I don't feel respected on like a base level in America because it always feels like someone's gonna yell at you.
Yeah.
Somebody is gonna power trip and try and hold authority over you, not because they are actually someone who's trying to keep you safe. It's just because they wanna have control over you.
Right. Yeah. One thing that you mentioned too, a big difference between the US convention scene and the Europe convention scene is that if someone takes your photo in America, they own the rights to that image. But in Europe, you said the model owns the rights.
Wait, I didn't say that. I don't know that. Who told you that?
Somebody said that.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Never mind.
I guess I
should. Oh, Holly, I think, actually said that. Never mind. Strike Stella's name from that quote. I believe Holly told me that. So they have to give you back all of your photos.
Sick. That's dope.
Because you own the photos.
Yeah. There was also, we were in the 18 plus section, and there was a very strict rule of like no photography of anyone who wasn't like, it didn't give the consent. Mm. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's like a thing in America, but like it's not enforced in a way. It's more like it's a rule to be broken, I guess. But like in the 18 plus section for us, like everyone understood that this was the rule and was like okay with it. There was no sense of like tomfoolery or something. Yeah.
I didn't have any weird interactions with anyone either. I felt really good about that.
Yeah. I think that it's because Germany treats people with neurodivergency as normal. And I think that's the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you have somebody who's trying to overstep, the natural reaction is to just say no. But in America, people are just like, he should have known. It's common sense. I'm like, was it? Or are you not like being gracious enough to somebody who might be neurospicy?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like anytime, maybe I would say something, or so many times in which I would overstep and someone would be like, I'm not interested in that. No, thank you. And I'm like, okay, moving on.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. Like there was no sense of like offense. It was just like, oh, no. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And it was very refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I love the brutal honesty, because even if it stings at first, it takes away so much of the guesswork and it helps anyone who's anxious, I feel like.
Which, you know,
this is which your is me. Experience.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm glad that we got to go on another adventure together. Hopefully we get to do it again.
Hell China. Yeah. China.
Possibly at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
We need you to translate.
I've been working on my Chinese. It's gotten so good.
Really?
Yeah. I've been really like every single time I go to China and there's words I don't know, I will like hardcore ask people and I will like repeat it in my brain, use it in a sentence, like use it over and over again. And it's always modern vernacular, mm-hmm. which like is really important to me because like a lot of the vocabulary I learned when I was a kid is like from the 80s or 90s or whatever my parents, you know, they talk to me like I'm a child and I talk to them like they're my parents and that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't have any other context of how to speak. So being able to learn Chinese in as a peer, as a person who is like the same age as me, like talking to them, it's made a huge difference.
Yeah. Is it easier to learn Mandarin than Cantonese?
I don't think either is easy because they have the same grammar. So it pronunciation wise, maybe one will be easier than the other, but it doesn't stop you from having trouble with the different placement of grammar. So once you learn the formula, the equation for Chinese, then everything will start making more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You'll start being able to memorize phrases and you'll be able to start like understanding context. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, that person's saying something about this. So this is the topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Are there, how many tones are there?
In Mandarin, there's four. So it's not as crazy as Cantonese. Cantonese has like a dozen or something.
Yeah,
like that.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
So there's four. What are they?
So I'm going to do it with a word. Ma, 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 ma. So up, down, like a U shape.
Like a curve.
And curve, and then a dot, like a staccato.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that, even though there is just those four tones, stringing them together also makes a big difference because it's just about kind of practicing your phrases. Once you get your phrases down and you're memorizing your phrase, kind of like Japanese when you're memorizing phrases, it'll be easier that way. I find that that's the easiest way to learn languages is to memorize phrases rather than let me rephrase. There's two ways to learn languages. One is to like really dissect the grammar and like how everything comes together. And then the second one is to just memorize the phrases that you need to survive every single day. And then those two, neither are better than the other, but one is different way of learning than the other. Each one is different way of learning. So it just depends on how your brain enjoys learning.
Right.
I do not like learning grammar. I prefer to learn phrases and sound bites and memorizing sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would like. I think I'm somewhere in the middle, maybe. Whenever I get bored of one, move to the other and go back and forth. Well, one thing everyone knows about you, Stella, is that you love BL, which stands for boy love. People don't know. And lately, you and I have been forcing all of our friends to take the Omegaverse test together.
That's
Do you remember what you got?
Yes, I am an aggressive Omega.
Aggressive Omega.
Which means, let me role play it for you. I'm not an Omega. I'm an Alpha. I'm on top. I'm definitely on top. Why would I be a bottom? I don't give bottom energy. So that's
there's Omega. One thing that I remember about you. It's like a core memory of mine about you from like 7 years ago. It was like when we first met. It was like one of the first conventions that I ever hung out with you at. And someone, I want to say it was Bindi Smalls, but I could be wrong, was telling me this story about how you took the Harry Potter test and got Slytherin, but you wanted Hufflepuff. So you took the test over and over and over again for hours until you manipulated your answers to get Hufflepuff. And I remember her being like, is that not the most Slytherin thing that somebody could ever do? That just proves that you are a Slytherin more than anything else you could have ever done, even the test results. And that to me is in line with aggressive Omega. I don't want that. I'm going to do the other thing. Yeah. I'm going to do it until I get it. That's what I want.
That's so true. So sad it's true.
It's like my first memory of you as a friend. It was that. I was like, that tells me a lot about Stella as a person, I think.
You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it myself.
I'm going
to
do it anyway. Mm-hmm. I have ambition.
But you got, what was it?
Soft Alpha.
Alpha, yeah.
Which is, I think, the most embarrassing version of Alpha. If I could read the description.
Yes, please.
Soft Alpha. Thank you for finishing this test, Soft Alpha. We here at Omegaverse Inc. congratulate you. Here's what you might need to know about your diagnosis. As a soft alpha, you exercise that need for control, instinctive to all alphas, but you do so in a way that isn't brash or harsh. This makes you a natural leader that's also well-liked. You are a people pleaser at heart, and you cry if you think someone doesn't like you.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for it. I'm like, this all sounds great. Oh.
You did all the therapy and now feel the need to therapy others. You were an arts kid and wholeheartedly expected to get submissive Omega in this test. Should you enter the workforce, we recommend going into therapy, law, landscaping, farming, or even politics.
By the way, this was written by someone in high school.
Yeah, definitely. And also, what's funny about that is that my Myers-Briggs also says I should go into politics. And I would rather headbutt a fork.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm built for that at all. Oh, never mind. A soft alpha is most compatible with a flirty beta, a loner alpha, a caring beta, an independent omega, and a submissive omega.
Ah.
But, yeah. It's like the broody emo alpha.
Who's like, why does anyone like me?
Can you explain to the class what the difference is between alpha, beta, and omega, and on top of that, the Omegaverse in general?
So the Omegaverse, you know how there's like other universes like vampires and werewolves and pirates and all that kind of stuff. So we have the Omegaverse. There's alphas, betas, and omegas. Alphas have the ability to impregnate. Omegas have the ability to get pregnant.
Right.
And betas are just normal people. No one writes anything about them. I don't know why they exist.
They're around.
They're just around.
They're right? The best friends.
They just fill in the population. And so alphas can be male or female. And same with omegas.
Mm-hmm.
They can be male or female. But the point of the Omegaverse, the whole reason the Omegaverse exists is male pregnancy.
Right. Mpreg.
It was invented to get people in supernatural pregnant. Mm. And One Direction, by the way. That's the whole point.
That's where it started?
It started in Supernatural and One Direction. All of those fanfics That's where it is. And you know where it's the most prevalent right now? BTS and Stray Kids fanfics.
Really?
Yep.
Whoa.
Yep. They are constantly trying to get those boys pregnant.
So it's not necessarily like a werewolf thing or a pack thing.
It can be. It's based on, it's like very based on that dynamic. So especially there's like a subsection that is all about pack mentality. And for some reason in those pack mentality fanfics, there's no fucking smut. So I'm like, what is the point of this? The whole point, you guys, like I said, is male pregnancy. And if there's no male pregnancy, why am I reading this fanfic? I'm leaving.
Right.
So yeah, that's my very strong opinion about that.
Uh-huh.
So alphas smell omegas, right? They smell their scent. Omegas usually smell like vanilla, honey, like flowers, like
something. They have smells.
Yeah, they give off scent. Mm-hmm. And alphas also
seems
give
like
off
a good
scent.
Idea for a candle. Looking at you, Darshell and Mike.
Very true. Alphas, their scents are more like very musky, like sometimes they'll smell like a campfire. Just like more masculine scents, right? And also someone pointed out that if in real life you like masculine scents like that, you're an omega.
Mm.
And if you like floral scents, then you're an alpha.
Oh, I don't like floral scents.
Maybe.
No!
Maybe you're an omega. Because
no!
You and I both like the same perfume. Black
Opium.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah, we do.
It's spicy. It is spicy flavor.
I normally like woodsy stuff.
Yeah, me too. I prefer woodsy. I hate florals. It always gives me a headache.
Yeah, me too.
So we like alphas. It's like the biggest proof. I confirmed this because Jenny Belly, she mm-hmm. loves floral scents and she's an alpha.
She is an
yeah,
alpha.
She is an alpha.
That's an alpha right there. Yeah. That's a loner alpha.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
already know.
So in those universes, omegas always need to wear scent suppressants to hide the fact that they're omegas, but also to keep them, you know, like birth control. Like they don't want to get fucked all the time and get pregnant because they want a job and stuff until they meet the main character of the story, who is then going to dick them down until they're pregnant. So up until the point the story starts,
uh-huh.
are omegas so safe with their suppressants and their scent blockers. But as soon as the story begins, it's all over. Those things stop working. They have like a medical issue. The doctor's like, sorry, you've been taking too many suppressants. You gotta stop taking them. They're not working no more. And then the uh-huh. alpha smells them from like fucking
the and then they can't help
room.
Themselves
and they have to jump on the omega and it's
is
woo-hoo.
It all omegas and all alphas, or is there like a soulmate situation or like a mate?
Yeah, there is. It's the idea that you guys are scent compatible, so much so that it makes you soulmates. And so no matter what, even if you fucking hate each other's guts, you guys can't resist your compatibility and your scents,
right,
and stuff. And it calms you to be around each other. And like there's like the werewolf dynamic part of it is that like the omega within you is its own sort of like instinctual personality. And so you always call it like, my omega is whimpering and crying for its alpha, you know, mm-hmm. things like that.
I have a question. The omega is, so it's technically like the hierarchy of things is alpha, beta, omega, but the omegas are the ones who could get pregnant. And in my mind, the ones who can get pregnant should be the most powerful, right?
Yeah. So it's an allegory for real life. The omegaverse was invented by women who just couldn't stand how our real world is. So let me get a little serious now. The entire point, the entire reason the Omegaverse was invented is so that women could find a way to talk about the trauma of being a woman in a society, but they didn't want to talk about themselves, and they didn't want to put women through, they didn't want to write about women going through any sort of like terrible sexual situations, right? Like any kind of sexual trauma. And it's usually really young women writing about this because they haven't discovered their sexuality. They maybe never kissed anyone ever before, but they wanted to imagine a world in which all of this made sense,
mm-hmm.
you know? meeting somebody, understanding why a person acts the way they do. And an alpha is very aggressive because they can't resist the scent of an omega. Why are men in real life so aggressive towards us? There's no explanation. So if we throw an explanation in there, we can rationalize why there's so much violence against women. And to have an alpha treat an omega, male omega, so violently and horribly is in its own way our catharsis.
I see.
Yeah. There's a lot of psychology behind it. But the whole point is male pregnancy.
Male pregnancy, which brings me to my first guest question of the evening. This one comes all the way from my home, Witchy Brew. Has a very important question for you. I asked a couple of friends to write some guest questions for the episode, and this is Amanda's.
Hi there, Danielle DiNicola at the Dress Down Podcast.
Hold on, hold on. I'm a first time caller, long time hater. Wait.
What is happening?
My messenger is going times
two. Did you
press
2X?
Yeah.
Hi there, Danielle DiNicola at the Dress Down Podcast. This is Witchy. I'm a first-time caller, long-time hater. I was calling to ask Stella about specifically what she believes the intricacies of impreg and how the pregnant males birth babies. Are you a they have both parts person, or are you simply a birth from the butt purist? Like, can you tell me in your mind how it works? Thank you so much, big fan.
Thank you so much, caller, for your question. Witchy Brew asking the real questions of the evening. Do you believe, apparently, there are two very divided camps in the Omegaverse? I was explained to. One is that men have the vagina or the womb of a traditional woman and birth babies that way, and the other is that they just have male genitalia and they birth them through their butt.
So as a connoisseur,
yeah,
I have never seen the first one.
Oh.
Never have I ever seen an Omegaverse in which the male birthed from a vaginal canal.
Ah.
They mysteriously only have a butthole, and nobody knows how men give birth. Nobody, it's just like eels in the ocean. Somehow they just appear and they reproduce, but they put trackers on them to follow them deep into the depths, and they still don't know how eels reproduce. And that's the same for the Omegaverse. We have no idea. Science cannot answer this question. There has been no evidence. There has been no fan fiction, no regular fiction, nothing that details the birth of a baby in an Omegaverse.
In my head, a stork flies down and puts like a medical device that opens up the butthole and shoves the baby in and then closes it back up in the middle of the night for their water to break when they wake up in the morning.
Woo! I have seen plenty of pregnant men. That's like normal. They have a big old belly, but for some reason it looks like way cuter than a woman when they're pregnant. I don't know what's going on. Okay. They look like the same guy, but except for the bulge, they don't gain any weight anywhere else, right? It's just the bulge of the tummy. And then boom, next day after they give birth, they're flat.
Right.
Fucking bitches.
That it tracks. That tracks for the male species as a whole. Beautiful eyelashes, skin that's healthy and plump despite using bar soap on it every day. Fucking assholes.
Even in fiction.
All of you.
But they always have a difficult birth. I'm just going to say that right now. It's never like, oh my God, it was like so easy. No, they always have a difficult birth and they almost die every time. So.
Oh. From their butt? Did you know that the butthole can stretch large enough to fit a raccoon?
The answer is yes. I knew
that. You did know that?
I know a lot of things about buttholes.
What are some other butthole facts you can share?
Can I share?
Yeah,
wait,
why not?
Hold on. Can I share?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Not all men need to be prepped. Not all men need to be prepped. It's like, it's just kind of like, in 100% of fan fiction I've read, they all need to be prepped. And it takes like a fucking hour to prep them with like one finger and then two finger. And then maybe they'll get to a third finger. I'm like, girl, you need to go talk to a gay man. And a lot of gay men don't need to be prepped.
They Wait, can just, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a fun I've fact. Never talked to a gay man about this.
You're the closest I have right now.
Well, I am your gay man proxy.
Okay, wait.
Also, poppers exist.
Poppers exist, which are drugs that relax your butthole?
Yeah. So they are VCR cleaner. That's what they're called. They're called VCR cleaner because they can clean your VCR back in the day. I don't know what they're used for nowadays because we don't have VCRs anymore. But you know what they're used for? Poppers. And they're essentially almost like a solvent that comes in a little bottle called Rush, and you just
you sniff right? it.
You sniff it. You sniff it, and then your butthole goes woo.
There's got to be a better way to do that that doesn't kill a bunch of your brain cells. That feels like cancer.
The thing is
waiting
that
to happen.
Men, whenever something happens to men, it always. Like, you know, alternatively to women, it always works out. You know, we always talk about if male pregnancy happens, then like abortion would become legalized immediately, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So this is the best they can do. This is the best. This VCR cleaner butthole popper open is the best they can do.
Is that why it's called poppers? Because it pops open your butthole? I didn't know that. I never put that together. Is that a thing?
Maybe. But yeah, that's also something missing in a lot of fan fiction. Gay or Omegaverse, they never interview actual gay people or LGBTQ people mm-hmm. about the realities of being gay.
That not everybody needs to prep their butthole for yeah. anal sex?
Or like the poppers, or like the fact that most men just have multiple partners at any time. Like there isn't this like monogamy thing going on. Like male female relationships are like universally monogamous. Like it's mm-hmm. so rare to find, unless you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, it's so rare to find people who are polyamorous.
That's so true. Every D&D couple I know is polyamorous.
I don't make the rules, guys. I'm just simply an observant.
Or are open in some way.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
But yeah, most if you interview your gay guys, everyone, go ask your gay friends, your gay male friends. Are they in open relationships? Do they have orgies all the time? Maybe they're monogamous, but they definitely do be cruising, just having fun with other boys. And I am so jealous. I'm so jealous. So fucking jealous.
When will it be our time?
I saw a video today that like resonated really, really deep with me. It was a woman. And she said, guys, I really want to be a twink, but I don't want to transition. I don't want to go through the work of transitioning. I just want to just suddenly become a hot twink.
Yeah. I want to turn it on and off. I want a button.
I don't really want to. I just want to be a hot twink. I don't want to transition into a hot twink because the fucking chances of me being a hot twink is very, very low. It's like, it's so low. It's like a 1% chance. The gotcha, I would not win, right? I just want to be a hot twink like that. If I had the stick to
the
fucking
The one wish
boom,
willow?
Right? I would be like, I want to be a hot twink with like, that doesn't need to be prepped. That's it. I would never need to use poppers. I just don't need to be prepped. I'm ready to go. I'm self-lubricating butthole. Which, by the way, I forgot to tell you that that's one of the most important parts of the Omegaverse is that all Omegas have self-lubricating buttholes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's so great for them. They have it all.
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do. Which brings me to my next question. I'm going to name popular anime husbandos. And I would like you to tell me what classification of the Omegaverse you think that they are and why.
Okay.
Starting out with Gojo Satoru from Jujutsu Kaisen.
My immediate thing was Alpha, but in the ghetto, what's that guy's name? Yeah, Geto, Gojo, when they're together, I think Geto is the top, and I think Gojo's the bottom. But I don't know if that makes sense, because I cannot see Gojo as an Omega. I can only see him as an Alpha, but I don't see him as a regular human world, normal world top. I see him as a normal world
like
bottom.
A switch, maybe bottom.
You can't switch when you're an Omega.
Oh,
That's the problem.
So you think he's either like a stronger, quote unquote, Omega, or a softer Alpha, or a Beta?
Oh, fuck. He's definitely not a Beta.
Oh, okay.
No. Gojo's definitely not a Beta. Gojo's he's either an Alpha or an Omega.
Yeah.
But I think he's. It's only if Geto is there. If Geto exists, then he is the Omega.
Okay.
But if Geto isn't there, he's a fucking Alpha.
Gotcha. Okay. Eren Yeager.
I want to say Omega, but I also think he's a Beta.
You think Eren Yeager's a Beta?
Yeah.
Ah! Yeah. Wow, how come?
An Omega needs people. An Alpha needs people. Eren Yeager doesn't need anybody, so he's a Beta. Yeah.
I agree. Nanami.
An Omega. Nanami is an Omega.
Yeah.
Also, because one of my favorite fanfics about Nanami, he was a bottom, so. And he was a really good bottom. He was a fucking fantastic bottom. So.
Yeah. Goku.
Beta.
Yeah.
Fucking asexual Beta is what he is.
I agree. All Might.
Omega.
True.
Right? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad you agree. I didn't have to explain myself.
No. Light Yagami.
Oh, God. Actually, hold on. I'm trying. Hold on. Okay. He's either an Alpha or a Beta. He's Alpha if he's with L, but he's a Beta if it's with Misa.
True.
Yeah. True. Because I find Light to be asexual, but he's so obsessed with L.
He's so obsessed with L
that I'm like, my boy, I don't think you need to pretend to be straight because it's very obvious that you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Professor Oak.
What the fuck? You know what? He's an alpha.
I think so too.
Yeah, he's an alpha. Let's go.
I think so too.
He's also a Pokemon breeder, okay? I don't know what that means in this, but he gives off alpha energy because
that's
of it.
That's true. Levi Ackerman.
He's my alpha.
That boy's an alpha.
Yeah.
That's an alpha right there.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is with Erwin, he's Erwin's bottom.
That's true.
I don't know if Erwin would breed him, though. So I just don't think he's an Omega. I don't know what he... They're both alphas, and one of them gets bitched. That's what it is. By the way, another fun thing is that if two alphas are attracted to each other, one of them becomes submissive and gets bitched, and they develop a womb, and they can get pregnant. They suddenly become Omega'd.
No way.
Yeah, I don't make the rules.
That's crazy.
This is how the universe works.
Lloyd Forger.
Beta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vegeta.
Omega, he's an Omega.
That's an Omega right there.
Vegeta's such an Omega.
That's an aggressive Omega
there. He's so Omega.
That's
great.
A bratty man.
Oh my God. You know Bulma pleases him in the bedroom, as in she takes care of him.
Oh yeah.
He's such a little whiny baby.
Yeah. She talks him through it for sure.
Yeah.
Jason Victor.
Okay, so Jace is the Alpha, Victor is the Omega. This is consistent. I think the entirety of the JVic nation has decided that, because every time I read a fanfic in which Victor is the Alpha, it doesn't feel quite right.
Mm-hmm.
It feels weird. But there has been one that was fantastic. There was one that was really good in which Jace transmigrates into a world in which he is a Omega, and he does, but he doesn't know about the Omegaverse. He never smelled anything before. He doesn't know what the fuck that means.
Mm-hmm.
And he like goes into heat, which is like, you know, the time of the month in which like Omegas are like, oh my God, I need to be fucked, please, Alpha. And then so, of course, Victor was around and he's like, I guess I have to take care of you because, what's her name? Mel wasn't around. Mel was on a business trip.
Mm-hmm.
So little Jace was like, oh no, please, Alpha. So Victor was like, okay, this will be the last time. It'll be not like last time, you know, when we said it was gonna be last time, this will actually be last time. That fic was good. That fic was so good.
Pegasus, the star duelist of Yu-Gi-Oh.
I don't know. He wants to be Alpha.
Yeah.
But I think everyone in Yu-Gi-Oh is Omega.
Is Omega.
Everyone. Every single person. I don't think a single person is Alpha. Everyone's got such fucking cuck bottom energy.
Not Weevil.
Not Weevil. Weevil tore up those cards and threw them overboard. I don't know. I feel like Bakura is kind of...
I don't know.
All right. Anyway.
Everyone's so, like, oh! Right? That's, like, that's Omega energy. That's not that's Alpha. True.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? You're right. I'm going to stand by you with this one.
As an Omega.
As an Alpha, I'm going to go ahead and say you're right. Did I miss anyone? Perfect. Well, oh, Ilya and Shane.
Yeah, Ilya is definitely Alpha and Shane is Omega. We already know this.
But he's such a brat, Ilya.
Yeah, but Shane gets pregnant. Like, you cannot imagine Ilya pregnant. It's like Shane has to be the pregnant one.
Yeah.
Shane also acts like a mom, like all the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. Well, Stella, thank you so much for joining us for a second episode and imbuing all of your passionate knowledge upon us. You are a gift. I'm glad that we could stay up until however late it is right now to share male pregnancy theories
supremacy
together. Yeah.
Male pregnancy supremacy.
Yeah. My final question for the YouTube portion of the show will be, when you are looking for a fan fiction to read, which tags do you go for and what do they mean?
I'm weird. I really like angst.
Angst.
I need, and sometimes heavy angst. I don't even like light angst. I want it to be so fucking sad. I want both parties to be filled with such sadness and rejection and self-hatred and bad things happen, a series of unfortunate events happening to them.
Right.
Because I need to feel something. I want to cry. I like crying when I'm reading my fanfics.
Do you go to therapy?
Why would I when fanfiction is free?
You know what? That's so true. That's so true. Queen, that's so true. Okay, so heavy angst. You want to cry. You want to sob. No wonder you kept telling me to watch Free Run.
Free Run's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will always recommend sad things.
I know.
I find them so enjoyable.
I don't. How can I avoid my feelings when you make me want to cry?
Because crying is so pleasurable, right?
I mean, in theory, yes. That is healthy. But that really messes up my 35-year streak of keeping all of my emotions inside forever.
Let them out.
Also, I just said I was 35 and I'm not. I'm so tired. I got my own age wrong. I'm 33.
Jet lag the podcast.
Jet lag the podcast. Woo. Great. Go ahead and tell everybody where to find you online and what you have coming up
don't
in the future.
Don't find me online. Don't find me anywhere. Leave me alone. My dick's small.
Make sure you comment below after taking the Omegaverse test and tell us what you get. Alpha, beta, or omega, and what kind, so that we can share our results.
Yay! And then we're going to put all of you guys in different rooms and then fill up the rooms with all of your scent and then open the bay doors and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Carnage. Yeah. Like opening the pit.
Yeah.
And then a Day to Remember show. Great. So to kick off our Patreon portion, I would like for you to describe love in deep space. Let me rephrase that, actually. What does liking each boy from Love in Deep Space say about you as a person?
All right, let's do this.